Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship at First Federated Church. I am in particular excited that you are here with us in the Lenten season. I'm excited because the Reverend Sam Duren is here with us this evening, and he's going to share the word of the Lord with us. As well, we get to participate in the Lord's Supper, and the way that we will do so this evening is you will process from the pew through the center aisle, and we will gather and have communion around the table, and then you will return to your seats via the outside aisle. If coming forward to gather around the table for communion is prohibitive, just give Sam or I a little nod and we will make sure to bring the elements to you. As we have gathered here this evening to worship God, we have been called in worship. Please join me in that responsive call that is found in the bulletin. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the people who trust in Him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all who are upright in heart. And will you join me in the prayer of the day? O God, by your power, may we with all the saints comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with your fullness. Amen. Would you please rise to sing the opening hymn? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God Almighty in a moment of silent prayer, and then together with one voice, we will pray a corporate prayer of confession. Please pray now silently. And together, let us pray. Forgiving God, the world is bent with brokenness, weighed down with sin that spreads through the human race and sprouts misery everywhere. It's a wonder you don't uproot the whole entangled mess and end it all. But you promised not to do that. We praise you for the bow of mercy that is bent over the world. For the freedom of sins, we can now grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Know that in Christ you are forgiven, and be at peace.
Almighty God, we ask you to enlighten us with your spirit, with your truth. As we open up your word, we open up our hearts for you to guide us and, Lord, direct us in this moment and in this time with you, we pray. Amen. The scripture lesson comes from Philippians, 2nd chapter. We'll be reading verses 1 to 11. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And so it may read a little bit different if you have a different translation, but I assure you this is the Word of God. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise God for his word. I'm going to step up here for a moment. I just want to stand where Frosty stands. To my friend, I thank you for the invitation. And Frosty told me to take as long as I need to preach like it's a Sunday sermon message. See, y'all hearing y'all laughing, y'all know that's not what he said. All right. I want to talk about the greatest servant. When we look at this text in Philippians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 11, you see and hear Paul's heart about having unity in the body of Christ. And as we are in the Lenten season, we think about how Christ desperately wanted us to be one. When you look in the Jesus' prayer in the 17th chapter of John, you see the urge of saying, God, I pray that they be one with you as you and I are one. He prayed for the disciples, and you see this same kind of a passion of this attitude of a servant. Imagine you go to a CEO and they ask the CEO, what does it take to be a great leader? And the CEO will tell you how you delegate, how you do this, you do that, you do that, and you get people to do all these great things. And you say, man, that's a great leader. I'll buy your book. I'll follow you. But then if you go ask Jesus and ask him, what makes a great leader? He'll say the best servant. Two different philosophies. And so I want to talk about the greatest servant, who was the greatest CEO, the master of all, became the servant of all. The greatest master became the greatest servant because he had the right attitude. If you don't get anything else from what I'm saying, help me preach to your neighbor right now. Just tell them, get the right attitude. It's all right. See, I got my friends help me out. If y'all didn't want to talk, I got some help. And so here it is, that the right attitude. Notice right there at verse 5, there's a shift in this verse. There's a shift right there. And some translation says, have this mind, the mind of Christ. New Living Translation says, have this attitude of Christ. Basically, if you look before that, there's an attitude that Paul says that you should have. If there's any fellowship, if there's any joy, if there's any compassion, being in the body of Christ with a make my joy complete. There must have been some fighting going on. So he wants unity to come. Says, well, then, if you want to make my joy complete, you need to have this kind of an attitude. And the first part of the attitudes that you want to have is love. He says, if you love somebody, you will do these things. You will put their need above your need. Love also brings unity and working together. But notice also what he talks about was qualifying for love. There's some prohibitions. He says, do not do anything out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of vainglory or conceit. Notice that when we love others, we will put them before ourselves. But when we love ourselves most, we put ourselves first. What did Jesus do? He put others first. He said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. And so we must learn to always put ourselves last. And that's how you get joy. That's how you get joy. You know, you spell joy, J-O-Y, which means Jesus, others, then you. You get joy. So do nothing out of conceit, but look out for others' interests. Now, I like that part in verse 4, because if you do a word study, look it up, it says to have somebody high and lifted up. Basically, when you look somebody else up, you will lift them up. You will put them above you. And think about how what we do for people, we lift them up, we have high esteem. For example, my team, the Cubs, I don't want to offend anybody, but my team, the Cubs, when they won the World Series, they loved Ross so much that they lifted him up and carried him off the field. And some of you might remember about when the Chicago Bears, the 85 Bears, when they did the Super Bowl Shuffle, when they won the Super Bowl, it still has not done, I believe, in NFL history, they carried both coaches off the field. Imagine somebody loved Mike Ditka that much, ain't that something? And Buddy Ryan, two guys that fought everybody, but they loved him so much, they lift them up. So when you love somebody, you lift them up. Christ is calling us to lift each other up, and that's serving. That's serving. And so this is the attitude that Jesus had. Jesus' attitude, it says that. So you see the shift. So you see the verses 1 through 4. If you have this attitude, right, if you don't have vainglory, you don't be selfish ambition, but you learn to put other needs before your needs, then he has to shift. So have this attitude. Have this mind that Christ had. So what's the mind Christ had? Though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to come in the form of man. You see the play on words there? When you look at that verse, you can see how they shift, because some believe it might have been in hymn, it might be a poem, it might have been a song that they sang, definitely probably in the time of this season of Passion and Lent. I can sense the old church going back to this verse and looking about what our Christ did for us. Though he was God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to come in the form of man, meaning that he was willing to let go. Humility is another attitude we need to have. To have the attitude of Christ, the attitude of servant, involves humility, it involves love, it involves sacrifice. And so when he had this humility, he humbled himself. It reminds me of the two story about the two goats. Y'all know the story about the two goats going towards a bridge. Two goats on one side are going towards a bridge, and both of them look at him saying that, I'm not moving, you're not moving, but if we fight each other, we're going to fall off. So one goes, I got an idea. I'll lay down and let you walk all over me. And then he walked on, and then they both crossed to the other side. Our Lord, our Savior, realized that I will come down low and let us walk all over him so that we can live. He humbled himself and lifted us up. It's amazing how sometimes we don't want nobody to push us around. But yet God himself came in the image of his own creation in the form of a man. Notice how it says that he did not just come in the form of a man, but he came as a slave. He could have came as a king. I could come through the David's Row and I could get on the throne and I can chill, have all the gold, all the good stuff. But yet it said he came as a slave. He came as a son of a carpenter. And yet he still loves serving, because he desired that it's not about me, but it's about my creation. So he was the form of God, came in the form of a man, in an image of a slave. In an image of a slave. And as a man, he was obedient. Obedient what? Unto death. When we serve our God, it's a lifelong commitment. You understand that? It's a lifelong commitment. We're about to take of this bread. It says that we do this in remembrance. And we do it until he comes back again. It's a lifelong commitment. Christ was committed all the way unto death. Obedient unto death. It says not just death, but a criminal's death, or even death on the cross. To us, the cross is a glorious symbol. It represents our resurrection. It represents our salvation. It represents our religion, our Christianity. But in Christ's time, the cross represented condemnation. It represented repulse. It represented judgment. It was the worst way possible to die, yet he embraced it. When I think about the cross, I think about that movie, The Passion, and there's a moment in the movie, The Passion, where I kind of cried the most. I cried throughout that movie. I only watched that movie once. I can't watch it again because I feel so bad that I know I nailed him to the cross. I feel so bad. I can't watch it again and feel happy about it. I just get sick in my stomach because I know how sin messed up I am. And yet he embraced the cross, and one of the criminals says to him, why are you embracing your punishment? And what came to mind was Hebrews, which says that he bore the shame of the cross because he saw the glory. Only our God sees good out of what is wicked, because he sees us and we are surely wicked, but yet he wants us to be good. Aren't you glad about God's amazing grace? So even obedient to death on the cross. And then we get to verse 9, my favorite part, the therefore. And when you study your Bible, when there's a therefore, there, the therefore is there for a reason. And so before, we just talked about Christ. Now it's on God. It says God highly exalted him and gave him the name, not just a name, but the name. You know, it's the there. It's a definite, means it's specific. The name. There's something that happens about this name. This name is high and above than any other name. Nobody else has this name. And the name is not how we call a name. Like, my name is Sam, but yet that's not that kind of a name. There's not the name, because it says at the name of Jesus. But yet here it is. It's not just the name, but the name, when it says the name, it's implying the title, the position, the character of this person. And who is this person? This person is not just Jesus as we know him on earth, but he is Lord. He is King of Kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the lily in the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is of the line of the tribe of Judah. I can go on and off. If I could just get one amen, I might stop. Because he is all that. And so God gave him that name. And when that name shows up, what's going to happen? It says every knee shall bow in three different places. Every tongue shall confess in three different places that he is Lord. If you read Revelation, when it comes, there's a sash on, there's a banner on, it says what? Lord. When he shows up, Lord, everyone must bow down before him and worship him. You read Revelation, what are they doing all the time? The creatures throw down the crown, they bow down, they start all over again. So here we go again. Because he is Lord. And he did this to serve us. He was exalted because of his humility. The master of all became the servant of all. So what's our challenge? Our challenge is, how can I be a servant like Christ? Well, here's your opportunity. Every day you get an opportunity to serve. You can hold the door for somebody, carry their groceries out, spend some quality time helping somebody study, volunteering in the soup kitchen. There's many ways that we can show how we can serve and show the same attitude, the same heart of Christ. And show the great master of all, who became the servant of all, that we want to join his team and be a great servant. Let us pray. Mighty God, we just thank you for the greatest example of service, of leadership in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God, we pray that you will help us to continue to be humble before you and serve you and be obedient to your will, that we will be humble before you and humbly serve and bring forth your glory and your honor in all that we say, that we do. We pray. Amen.
From the east and the west, from the north and the south, people will come and take their places at the banquet table in the kingdom of God, congregation of Jesus Christ. The Lord has prepared the table for all true believers. If you are sorry for your sins and sincerely follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are invited to participate in the Lord's Supper this evening. Would you please join me in the responsive great prayer of thanksgiving? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You are our God, and we are the creatures of your hand. You made us from the dust of the earth, breathed into us the breath of life, and set in us your word to love and serve. When we rejected your love and ignored your wisdom, you did not reject us. You loved us still and called us to turn again to you in obedience and love. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly chorus and with all the faithful saints of every time and place who forever sing the glory to your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Out of your great love for the world, you sent Jesus among us to set us free from the tyranny of evil. He lived as one of us, sharing our joys and sorrows. By his dying and raising, he released us from the bondage to sin and frees us from the dominion of death. And so together we pray as the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. The same night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." After the same manner also, Jesus took the cup when they had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do in remembrance of me." The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite you now to come forward by rows through the center and gather around the table. Again, if it is prohibitive for you to come forward, just give us a nod and we will bring the elements to you. Come, for all things are ready. Thank you. what a most glorious moment we share in as the body of Christ has gathered around the table, the Lord's table, to feast as Christ has commanded. This is the body and the bread given for you. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you are not distant and still, but you are active and you are present. You have fed us at your table physically and spiritually. May we take this fullness into your world and share the light of Christ with all people. Amen. Would you please pray the responsive prayer with me? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.